is a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Do you worry about anything?
Sure, everything. Well, you know, the sun could go nova, something could come in from the Oort cloud and blast us, viruses. Yeah, worry about lots of stuff.
Do you worry about anything?
Yes, always. That's one of my problems.
Do I worry about anything? What kind of question is that? Yeah, I worry about stuff.
Anything you can share?
Money, job. That's about it.
What is the cure, do you think, to not worry?
A lot of money and a good job.
Do you worry about anything?
Oh, no. You know what? Right now I'm worrying about her. I think we just lost her shoe.
How about you, ma'am? Do you worry about anything?
I worry about earthquakes living in L.A.
Do you worry about anything?
Are you kidding? Am I human?
I worry about a lot of things. I worry about my family, my daughter particularly, and my grandkids, and I worry about myself, and I worry about other people. I'm a worrier.
I worry about everything. I wonder if I'm still gonna have a job today or tomorrow.
What are some things that you worry about, if you don't mind sharing?
Homework, school, sports, friends. Yeah.
Well, I think the future for our youth. I have two grandsons, 13 and 15, and I look at them and I'm concerned.
Yeah, I worry. But I worry less now that I'm older than I did when I was younger. I don't know why that is, but.
Do you worry about anything?
Everybody worries, I think.
And why do you think that is?
You want things to go your way. You worry, am I going to do this right? I always tell my girlfriend I'll give her $5,000 if she can come up with one good thing that worry brings her. She hasn't cashed in yet.
Well, the year was 1988, and Bobby McFerrin's hit song was Don't Worry, Be Happy. The song became number one on the charts, actually won Song of the Year. Bobby was inspired by a quote he'd heard by an Indian mystic, and this fellow would have posters, and they would say, Don't Worry, Be Happy. So that inspired him to write the song. And it's a nice quote and makes for a catchy song, but it's far easier said than done. Don't worry, be happy. Few of the folks interviewed in the second video thought the question, do you worry, was kind of ridiculous. You know, of course they worry. Everybody worries. And worry is defined as to give way to anxiety or unease, allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles, or to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts and to fret. And we all know that worrying is not healthy for us. We all know that. We've heard the statistics. Health experts cite serious problems that develop when worry is allowed to take hold. One article I read listed 22 different physical reactions that can happen to your body just from worry. Just a couple of them were difficulty swallowing, dizziness, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, shortness of breath, suppression of the immune system, and of course, even a heart attack. I mean, reading the list will cause you to worry that you're worrying will cause you to get some of the symptoms. You worry about worrying. I'm worrying too much. The report stated that if excessive worrying and high anxiety go untreated, they can lead to depression and even suicidal thoughts. We all know that worrying is not healthy for us, and this is not news to us, yet we all worry from time to time. Some are worriers and others aren't, but we all have things we worry about. And there's no shortage of things to worry about in this day and age. In fact, there's never been a shortage of things to worry about in any day and age. It's little wonder that Jesus spoke about worrying in his Sermon on the Mount, which is where we find ourselves this morning in the series we've been doing on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verse 25 says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" As Jesus began to speak about worrying, we see this in verse 25. Notice he mentions, or the first part of the verse says, "Therefore." There's an old saying that when you see or read "therefore" in Scripture, you need to go ahead of it or behind it, I guess, or the verses before it to see what it's there for. Why is it there? In the verses previous to this, Jesus was discussing the things we treasure. And we looked at that in depth last week. And he talked about the things that we treasure, the things that are important to us, and that we shouldn't get caught up in all these things, rather to treasure God. And we looked at that in depth, and we saw in the previous verse of this in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And last week we saw that Jesus didn't have a problem with having money or with having nice things or preparing for the future or planning. He was concerned with the thing or things that captivate our lives, that we treasure, that we place a higher value on than we do the relationship with God. That these things are more important to us. They become our treasure. And so as he's continuing on as a sermon, his next statement to the one who chooses wisely, who sets their heart on God and chooses God as their treasure. That's what he's saying. He's trying to say move forward. So when he says therefore, he is, if you will, assuming that you're going to choose God. Rather than get caught up in the treasures of the world, that God becomes your treasure. And when God becomes your treasure and captures your heart, therefore you can stop worrying. Since you have trusted God, therefore stop worrying. And now let's look at these verses and the next couple of verses in context. Verse 25, Matthew 6, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable? Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field, they grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye, or you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And Jesus is saying that if you have, or since you have trusted in God as a believer in Christ, that God assumes responsibility for you. That he will make the provisions needed in your life. He will provide for you. Give you the way to make the living and all you need. And you should stop behaving like the person that has no trust in God. And so that's really what he's saying. If you believe in God, then act like it. And don't behave like the person doesn't even know God. That person, that unbeliever, will worry about everything. including what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, will they have the right clothes, how they're going to provide for the future. And, you know, he's not just singling it down just a few things, what you eat and wear. And it's everything, all this worry. One of the men in the video said, in the second video, said he worried about having a good job that paid a lot of money, and that if he found a good job that paid a lot of money, he could stop worrying. We all know that's foolish, right? That's just not true. I mean, obviously, when you can afford the necessities in life, it's less to worry about, but money's just not the answer. The point Jesus is making is that we will have plenty to worry about. And so many worry about being able to provide for everything we need in this life. And he's saying that when we worry, we are not trusting God. Worry makes a statement that God's not going to handle this. I need to take care of this on my own, because he may have promised this, but I'm worried that he's not going to meet the promise. And this is not to say that we don't have to work or plan. It's not saying, don't worry, God's going to send a bucket full of money to your house one day, just stay home. I mean, that would be nice, but it's not going to happen. You know, he said he provides for the birds of the air, but even they have to hunt for their food. God is the provision, but they still have to work for it. And Jesus is telling us that worry accomplishes nothing. In fact, we find out that worry doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't accomplish anything in what we're trying to worry about, other than the negative impact it has on us physically and emotionally. He says, who of you by, verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? What's worrying going to accomplish? What is the purpose of worrying? Over and over, Scripture confirms the danger of worry. Proverbs 12:25, the New Living Testament, says, worry weighs a person down, and encouraging word cheers a person up. New King James says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And here's a good word. Here's the good news. God is trustworthy. We can put our trust in God. And that's really what Christ is trying to tell us, that what's all this worrying all about when you know God through him? Psalm 37 does a wonderful job that encourages us to trust in God. Verse 1 says, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For they, like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And in this psalm and throughout the psalm, God addresses the evil person, the one that doesn't know a God, the one that goes along in his life as if God does not exist. God has no place in his life. And for the believer reading this, they're looking at these people that don't even consider God. They act if God doesn't exist. They're anti-God. And sometimes they look like they're getting along just fine. And God's saying, I've got that part covered. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. And we get all caught up in that. And then he encourages us to do the opposite, to trust him, that he's in control. Verse 3, trust the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. It's this theme of knowing God. And the main theme in the psalm, throughout the psalm, is to trust God, regardless of your current circumstances. Regardless of what's happening in your life, regardless of what's going on, trust God. First 11 verses exhort the believer in God to wait quietly with untroubled trust for God, knowing he's ready to take what you need. He's going to recompense the wicked. He's going to reward the righteous. Trust him to work it out. Verse 1 says, do not fret. And the word there in the original language suggests a mixture of anxiety and worry, and anger, and resentment, even irritation. You get all upset. And we have all worried and went that path, haven't we? We think about what's happening. We start looking at other situations, somebody else. We start to fret about it. We start to worry about it. We start getting anxious over it. And then we're upset that things aren't going our own way. We've all been there. Why do we go down that path? And it's like Jesus is saying, hello? Did you forget about me, the one that's right here with you? Did you forget that? Because we're acting like he's nowhere around, and we don't even know who he is. Now, we would never verbally say that, But that's how he perceives it, because that's what worry is doing. In the verse 1, do not fret. As I said, there's this working up, this resentment and irritation, and it's not the definition of someone who is trusting God. Following verses, verse 5 and following, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. How many know that sometimes that's a struggle? Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. We don't like to wait for anything. Are you kidding me? This is America. We don't have to wait, right? This is a hard thing. So be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Isn't that interesting where fretting and worry leads to? To evil. For evil men will be cut off, for those who hope in the Lord, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Fret not. Do not be anxious or envious. Rather, trust. Hope. Be still. And need be wait. And how is this even possible? How is this even going to work out? It's possible and will work out because you serve a God who is trustworthy. That's why. When you serve a God who is trustworthy, that's what happens. He is able to sustain you. He's able to make it work out. And of course, the psalm instructs us to stop worrying and not to be envious, to cease from anger, forsake wrath, and depart from evil. There's a theme there. And it's saying, stop doing those things and start resting in the Lord. Wait patiently, if need be, for God. Do good in the meantime, all the while trusting in God. And then throughout the psalm, which we don't have time to go through, but there are 25 promises that happen. So it's not just, you know, just hang out there, we'll get to you. It's no, if you trust me, and he begins to list these promises throughout the psalm, I encourage you to take time and read it later and meditate on it, maybe even throughout the week. But then not the least of it is that we will be upheld by God and have an abundance of peace. Now, how many of you this morning at some point in your life have worried? All of us. How many have worried this week? Many of you. How many have functioned in an abundance of peace? Where are your hands? You know? I mean, we have our moments. And God's saying, if you know me, your life should function in an abundance of peace. And it's not a denial of life's circumstances. It's not a denial of life's trials and difficulties. It's a peace that comes with God and knowing him. It's this abundance of peace. He said God is trustworthy, and we are able to trust wholeheartedly in him. And if we don't, what is the opposite of trust? If I don't trust, what's the opposite? Distrust, doubt, uncertainty, hesitation, which leads to fear. We back off, we get concerned, we start to doubt, we have distrust, we hesitate, we fear. And to not trust God is to walk in unbelief, doubt, and fear. And Scripture says that's the life of the unbeliever. That's the life of the one that doesn't know God. Knowing God is a process, and we understand that, but he's saying when you know him, you shouldn't be walking like this. The one that has no need or care or want of God or just doesn't know him, that's going to be part and parcel of being in a fallen world. But you who know Christ or have accepted Christ in this fallen world, you don't have to have those kind of anxieties and fear. The one who does not know God or refuses to trust in him has the uncertainty of the world and their own limited abilities that will bring about pervasive doubt and fear in their lives. It's predictable. We saw it leads to evil. All that evil wants to do, this doubt, this fear, this moving forward in your life with all these things of the world. And God scatters his promises throughout the psalm and then closes the psalm with these couple verses here. Verse 39 and following, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. It's a wonderful promise. Over and over in the Word of God, we are both encouraged and commanded to trust in God, to not be caught up in worry. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, "Those who trust in the Lord are steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance." Wouldn't that be nice if that was your life's description? Those who trust in the Lord are as steady as Mount Zion. They are unmoved by any circumstance. It's not denying that circumstances aren't going to come in your life. We all know they will. But you're unmoved by them. You know that God will see you through them. He will give you wisdom and direction and discernment and to help you with them. And there's not an area in your life or a circumstance in your life which you cannot turn to God in it and trust him in it. And to trust God means to be secure without fear. Secure without fear. And the reality is, you will be presented with things in your life that can initially cause you fear. Some of you have in your life right now, you have things that are happening that you feel you have no control over, or something's happening in your life, and you just have no idea how it's going to turn out, and it spirals into this fear. And because you know they are coming down the pike at some point in time, or maybe you're doing it now, that's why it's so important to develop a deep relationship with God all the time in every area of your life. Learn who he is. Begin to know who he is. Understand him in a deeper way. Not just, yeah, I accepted Christ and then things are wonderful and I'm going to move my own life, but to know who he is. Because it's when you know God, that's when you can trust him. It's easier to trust him. If a stranger walks in a room that you have no idea who this person is and they tell you they're going to do something, where's your basis of trust? You don't know them. When you know God in a deeper way, you develop this walk in knowing him, it's easier. We have countless examples of people in the Bible who trusted in God and were rewarded for it. Noah trusted God. Abraham trusted God. David trusted God. Daniel trusted God. Jesus trusted God, the Father. And all of them were rewarded, just to name a few. And with all those individuals, if you study them, the deeper the relationship, the deeper the trust. And you see people without a deep relationship, you see the doubt and fear come in. We're no different. And all of us here this morning are products of our environment, our upbringing, and our experiences. It's the difficult things and the good things that happen to us that color our present-day thoughts and feelings. For some of you, your past is hindering your present. The things you've experienced, the things you've brought up with, the things that have happened in your life, it hinders your present. Your past is hindering your ability to trust. People have let you down. You've let yourself down. And what happens then is we begin to lose confidence. When we lose confidence, we lose our ability to trust. And we put up these walls, and we don't allow ourselves to be heard again. And we put these walls up, and we become less trusting in general. And life has a way of building that wall, a brick by brick by brick, doesn't it? All of a sudden, we are these people who have these walls up and we don't trust, or we just struggle in the area. And the walls stop us from getting closer, stop us from knowing others better, and they stop us from knowing God better. Because you put this wall up and, will I trust God in this difficult circumstance? Maybe a little bit. It's no different. We get these walls. As I said, you can't trust somebody that you don't know. And with God, it starts by faith. You are trusting he is who he says he is. His promise is true. I'm going to trust him in it. And then beginning by faith, that faith grows into a deeper knowledge and a deeper faith and a deeper knowing of who he is, because he is trustworthy. And you reach that place in your walk with God that you know the circumstances may seem challenging and dark and impossible, but you know that God is trustworthy. It brings that peace. And we begin to see that the world has no standard. I mean, it's changing all the time. There is no rock, no stability. We see things changing in the world and the news constantly. What used to be accepted is just rock solid. It's not. I mean, you know, it's like shifting sands that are ever changing. And then we begin to see that it's God who never changes. Culture changes. Thoughts and ideas change. What's right changes. What's wrong changes. All these things change. God changes not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. Crazy world around me, I get that. I know it's going to be different. But God isn't. When he becomes your standard, when his word becomes your standard, things change in your life. Isaiah tells us that God is a rock. He says his work is perfect, his ways is just. He's a God of truth without iniquity, and he's just and right. 1 Corinthians tells us that Christ is a rock. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 47 says it well. The Lord lives, praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. He's faithful and just and solid and sure and true, and he can be trusted even in the hard things. Even in the really hard things, he is trustworthy. And don't let your past disappointment hinder your future. Don't let the past hurts and pains and disappointments and your own mistakes and other people's mistakes and all this mess that we get caught up in, don't let it hinder your future. Because God has a plan for you. He has a wonderful future when you trust him. We've all experienced those difficult disappointments. Some were the work of the enemy, the devil. Some were our own fault. Some were the faults of others. But they color our present-day thinking. Some of them seem unexplainable. It makes no sense. And how could that happen? Or why would they do that? Or how did I do that? Or where'd that come from? And the hard ones, they will shake our faith. They don't seem right or fair. And the enemy comes along and he causes doubt, fear, and distrust. We go back to those things and we can't work them out. We can't get them right in our head. And then it's like, why did it happen? Or where was God in that? And I don't get it. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Some things belong to God and they're just mysteries to us. We look at it and we say, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Maybe someday he'll reveal it. May reveal it in heaven, but I don't get it. But God, because he is holy, pure, and trustworthy, I don't have to be concerned about what he leaves as a mystery because I can trust him. But look again at the verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What's revealed to us? The word of God. How do we know God? By the word of God. And those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. There's such a wonderful promise there and such an encouragement there. And I kind of look at it this way. When I get all the Bible figured out, that's what's revealed to me, the word of God. When I have every word and comma figured out and I know it completely, then I'll go to God and deal with the mysteries of life. How about that? That sound like a fair gig for you too? That seems appropriate. I mean, there's enough about it. I'm going, boy, this is deep. I'm trying to understand the word, Lord, and we're worried about the mysteries of life. We need to rejoice in the things that are revealed to us. And what's revealed to us is far more than we need to sustain us. God will never leave you, never forsake you. It's time to trust in him. And so Jesus makes even more sense in Matthew 6. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And of course, these are all the things those people that day, that was their just trying to get through in life. Most of us know what we're going to eat or wear, and not we still get caught up in those things, but it's meaning everything of life. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It says up here for the pagans run after these things, and some translations say the Gentiles seek after these things. And the point is not a racial or religious distinction. If the wording is meant to be the one that doesn't know God, the one that doesn't know Christ, the one that doesn't have God in their life. That's what they chase after. And because they don't know God, they have no knowledge of a Heavenly Father who knows what you need. And they have no antidote to anxiety. Anxiety is just an anxiety, and the constant materialism is in their outlook. And Jesus is saying there's so much more available to you. So much more available to you. He's saying your Heavenly Father already knows and is taking responsibility for your needs. Trust Him. You know, we've had just about every season in life as you have. We've had good times, we've had bad times, we've had abundance, we've had, you know, I wasn't sure where I was going to buy groceries over the years. And I found out, and Chris found out when we went through years ago a very challenging period in our lives financially, that there's a big difference between our needs and our wants. And there were some things we wanted, but I know this, God provided every need we had, and some of them were big. He's a God that meets our needs. He takes responsibility, and He knows you need them. So if He is trustworthy, He is loving, He cares for you, and He knows you have this need, why are you worried about it? You go to Him in prayer, you present the need, and you trust Him. Verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God. Stuff, things will come along, but what you're first seeking. Rather than seeking after all the things that bring anxiety and stress, seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. I shared with you many years ago, it was 35 years ago, whatever, when I first started my company, First General Contractors, it was modeled after this verse, seek first the kingdom of God. I felt the Lord was telling me at that point in time to start this contracting company, and I got it going. But I also knew from being in business in previous past that it can consume your life. I mean, if you're a business owner, and I mean, just even working somewhere can consume your life. I mean, you can work night and day, and I knew that, and there are seasons that that's going to happen. But I also knew I needed a reminder to seek first God and His kingdom. Let everything else fall where it may. I have to put God first in my life. And sometimes it's a challenge. But it kind of became my life's verse, if you will, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I'm not saying I've done a great job on it all the time, but I had this reminder, this God has to come first. I've got to seek Him on a daily basis, and I still do, and so do you. Whatever you do in your life, in every area of your life, seek Him first. Put Him first. Therefore, verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And it's not saying that we're going to have a life full of trouble, but it's saying troubles come and troubles go, and they're going to happen. And all of us, sometimes we worry so much about tomorrow, about things that we think may happen, and they almost never do. And we all know some people. We have them in our family. I mean, something comes along, and they begin to play this movie in their head, and they've got this thing happening, and it's like, are you kidding me? It's the worst thing. It's never going to happen. But this thing starts winding up and winding up and winding up, and you know, we're all capable of that. Some are a little more proficient than others. But this thing comes along in your life, and all of a sudden, the worst case scenario. And He's saying, what are you worried about it? When that happens, if it does, I'm here to take care of it. In the meantime, why even play that movie in your head? What's the point? Tomorrow may be challenging. It may bring trouble. But God is not shaken by it. He's not upset by it. He will be there when you need Him. He'll be there. You can trust in that knowledge, and you can trust in Him. And that's what He's saying. And if we seek Him first today and focus on seeking Him first today, what happens to some of your worries? Your focus is on Christ and not the worries. And some of those things, and the worries about tomorrow, and they kind of go away. I invite the worship team to come forward. And we find that worrying puts our focus in the wrong direction. You begin to focus on your fear, not on God and His promise to be with you, His promise to take care of you. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Take all your worries, all your concerns, and give them to God. Why? Because He cares. If He cares, He will watch over you. You know, I've told some people, problems I had in my life, and I could tell as I was telling them, they could care less. You ever been there? They are not moved. Oh, they put on a big show, but I know by their reaction, they don't care. They're worried about going and getting a Happy Meal or something. I don't know, but they're not concerned about me. God cares. God cares. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Boy, if that was our life's verse, how would we be doing? Oh, I'm worrying. Maybe I should pray instead. I mean, that's scripture. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for all he has done. Why do you thank him? Because you trust him. Then you will experience God's peace. Oh, you mean when I pray, I believe, I thank him for it, even when I'm struggling in my faith and I'm still voicing it in faith? That's when the God's peace comes? And notice it exceeds anything that we can understand. That peace that goes beyond understanding, some translations say. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And man, if that's one thing we need, our heart and our mind guarded. Because worry, man, our hearts and our minds, they're gone. I mean, our heart starts to fear, our mind starts to wander, gets all caught up. And he said, I'll guard that. I'll protect that. Let's worship our God this morning.